Hey you guys, welcome to .Netflix. We're live today at Tech Days 2016, and we have a very special guest, Corey Sanders. He did a very awesome keynote this morning. So maybe you can introduce yourself to the people and tell us what you do at Microsoft.
I would love to. Yeah, so my name is Corey Sanders. I am the director of compute, the director of program management responsible for compute. So basically the head of product for compute. I've got my team runs both the infrastructure side, so infrastructure as a service, some of the platform as a service offerings, so the container service, but then also Service Fabric, Event Hub, Service Bus, and so these are all in my team. And okay.
And all products that we really like to use.
That's good, and maybe some of the products you want to get feedback on, so it's all going to work out. So absolutely, yeah.
So first of all, just listen to you naming all these products.
Yeah.
I really think that as a .NET developer nowadays, we really have a lot of choices to create a solution for our customers.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any ideas of doing guidance or guide people on what choices to make?
Yeah. It's both a good and a bad thing, right?
Yeah,
I think there's the nice thing over the fact that you can choose both, and now both Windows and Linux, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
But then of course the whole plethora of platforms. Yeah, typically the way I like to look at it is each one of the platforms is particularly good at one or two things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you can use each one of the platforms for pretty much anything. So, if you're writing like a web app, right, you can use, web apps for that. You can use Service Fabric for that,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
But if all you're writing is a web app, right, and you're sort of exposing it and you want to use some back-end storage or something, then, app service is going to be the best answer for you, right?
Exactly.
But then if you're doing something with microservices, as an example, you want to build a microservice-based app, Service Fabric does it all pretty much for you, right?
Yeah.
And so you could build a microservice-based app using, let's say, App Service,
yep,
right?
Yep.
You could build it just using a set of VMs, right? But the Service Fabric platform really makes it very, very easy to do that. And so each one of the platforms, and so App Service is great for web, mobile-based apps. Functions, of course, event-based programming, sort of event-based apps. Service Fabric more geared towards microservice-based solutions.
Yeah, right.
And then you can start mixing and matching them as you need.
Exactly.
So I think the best way to describe it is, what are you trying to do with your app, right? What is the nature of the app you're building, and then how do these components come together? And even as I talked about this morning, with containers coming in, it becomes even more easy to move, where you can start saying, gosh, just put your .NET app into a container, and then you can just start plopping it down on whatever service you want that day, right?
Yeah.
And so maybe even you switch week to week, you're like, okay, maybe I'll use this, and next week I'm going to try the container service instead. This should hopefully allow that mobility.
Yeah.
So
that's great. And I think that for .NET developers in general, it is actually something that they need to learn. You don't have to build all your solutions using ASP.NET and SQL Server. You have, we always call it Polyglot X. You just choose what's right for your solution, and then you can mix and match that. So I think that's very cool.
Yeah. And I think, it's great, and obviously love .NET developers and, keep coding away. But the nice thing about these platforms, of course, let's say you want to do something with Node, right, and you want to try it out, it's, again, just super easy to go, sort of plug and play, excuse the reference here, plug and play into whatever sort of solution you want. You want to try something with Go, right, you can go do that. So this is one of the fun parts about sort of the platform.
Yeah, we see a lot of Java developers also going towards Azure, and, it's all good. So.
Yeah, and Linux even. So Service Fabric's now public preview.
That's right. So we just launched the Service Fabric public preview for Linux, right? And so now you can do your development with Java on top of Linux as well, and of course containers there. So that's been exciting to see sort of that uptick and interest there. In addition, the standalone version. So now you can deploy it in Azure, but you can also deploy it on prem. You can even deploy it in other clouds. I don't know why you would, but you could if you wanted
you
to.
Yeah,
you could. So this again comes back to this whole idea of true openness and portability is really what developers are looking for, we're excited to offer it.
So we can now run Docker containers on top of Service Fabric on Linux.
That's right.
Will we see the same feature lit up
on the
Windows side?
You will
very soon.
Okay. Yes. It's something that now that Server 2016 has gone GA, it's very, very soon. In fact, you can sort of do it today, but we're gonna make it more visible, more sort of focused moving forward.
Because that was announced on Ignite.
Yeah.
Because last week was Ignite. Check out the web. There's a lot of interesting information.
Yeah.
A lot of information
both of these were
online.
Yeah, actually Ignite had a lot of announcements.
Yeah,
some new sizes, and but the search fabric things as well.
Yeah.
In fact, we have this constant challenge with something like Ignite where we announce so much that things get lost. And like a month later, people be like, oh, I didn't realize you guys announced that already. I even mentioned just a couple things in there. I was like, oh, yeah, we can do that today,
right?
Yeah. And yeah, it's kind of a surprise for everybody.
Yeah,
so,
nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So tomorrow, or this morning, in your keynote, you talked about going serverless, basically, with Azure Functions.
Yeah.
Where you've got this piece of code, and you only need to pay for the resources it's using when it's running.
Right.
And basically, you don't care where it's run,
right,
as long as it runs. So how do you see a future for IaaS in that? Do you think in a couple of years, we will only be writing functions, and we don't need those pesky VMs anymore?
Yeah. Well, being the VM guy, I think no. We'll still use it. No, just kidding.
That's job security.
Yeah. That's right. No. I would be happy for
VMs.
Everyone to not use VMs. I think the I think both are going to exist for a while, right? I think some of the things that we're seeing that are pretty exciting around serverless solutions, and I think functions specifically, is like you said, you pay for just the use running of that code. It's very easy to go write the code. You can do it right in the portal experience. In fact, I'll be demoing that later today. And it's just really easy, fun sort of experience to get your code up and running.
Multiple languages, right. You like. Yeah.
The challenge is that to replace everything with that requires a lot of work, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
And it's, you know, you've got to think fully event-based is actually quite hard, right? I think while our brains obviously handle events, right? I don't think at least in a purely event sort of way, right? It does take a lot of sort of rethinking of your app and rethinking of your structure. The layering of how you want it to do, right? You'll need an API endpoint at the top that then sits down on top of those events and so on. So I think there will be quite a bit of time, one, for legacy apps or portions of legacy apps, right? If you're running, let's say, functions and it's going to talk to a SQL server in the back end and you want to manage that SQL server with some unique settings, that's going to run in a VM, even though everything else will be in events,
right?
In functions. So I think we're going to see a combination of these things someday. Absolutely. I mean, I think we're going to see, just like there's still a lot of people who code native, but most new apps are written in some form of managed, whether Java or Go or .NET. I think similar sort of story. Over time, right, we'll see more and more net new apps be written using these sort of models, or even future models that we haven't seen yet. So
right,
I think, but I think there'll be a place for VMs for a while, but for net new apps, I think we'll see it move up the stack.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see the IaaS platform growing slowly towards the PaaS platform, also with VM skill sets. Will we see VM skill sets which will handle all the updating for you on the VMs?
Because you will.
Right now, I'm spinning on my Service Fabric cluster, and I just want to write microservices. I don't want to update those machines.
This obnoxious updating. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the way we look at VM scale sets is sort of a quasi-PaaS, like an IaaS PaaS or sort of a quasi-PaaS environment where you can automate the deployment of your code using extensions, so you can run with the command script or bash script or something. And then the things that we still need to add, I think we need to improve both the autoscale functionality. I think we need to improve some of the monitoring functionality, and then we need to improve and add sort of the automated patching support and basically do automated rollout, very akin to cloud services or the way cloud services works, right? You can sort of if you squint, you can sort of see that VM scale sets will start looking more and more like that, and so that's part of the goal there. And then layering on top of that things like container service, things like Service Fabric, it's very, very easy then to manage that infrastructure.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely the idea. That's the strategy. So you'll start seeing some of those things. Even in the next few months, some of those things will start coming out.
Okay.
Nice. So, and in fact, if you haven't played in the portal recently with VM scale sets, we've dramatically improved the experience. So you can go in now and you can select individual VMs and like reboot them or move them to the latest version of the model.
Cool.
And in fact, I'll show again in my session tomorrow, I'll show being able to go in and actually do rolling updates using VM scale sets, using a tool that we've got. So it's coming.
Cool.
It's all on the way. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And for all you people watching, these sessions are all being recorded.
We'll link them.
So
okay.
We will link them, yep. And they are available on our channel.
Yeah, sorry, I keep referencing things, and I'm not sure if...
No problem.
That's no problem. Everything is on the
internet.
Should
these days. They should be here. Yeah, that's right. I mean, if they cared.
Yeah, exactly.
You care. No, just kidding.
So you briefly mentioned Azure Container Services and Service Fabric in the same sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I am wondering about is, now that we can run containers on top of Service Fabric,
mm-hmm.
Why would I want to do that? Mm-hmm. Or what's the benefit for me instead of just running it on top of Azure Container Service?
Yeah, it's a great question. So part of it, again, comes down to, what does your app look like, right? Mm-hmm. What are you trying to do? I think with Service Fabric, you could just treat it like an orchestrator. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It could just deploy your containers and sort of manage that on top of virtual machines. But if you're just treating it as an orchestrator, there's quite a bit you still have to learn about Service Fabric to be able to use it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you sort of have to learn more about the model, learn more about the way in which microservices are approached, even though you're not using the microservices part of that platform.
Exactly.
Right? With something like the container service, something like DCOS from Mesosphere and Docker Swarm, these are really geared towards just doing sort of container deployment and provisioning. They're less geared towards microservice-based application models, right?
Right.
And so for those, it's very easy. You just kind of deploy. There's nice UI experience with them, right? So you can sort of visualize and manage,
mm-hmm.
which there isn't on Service Fabric. It's more geared towards the app,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so it does come back to, again, what are you trying to do with it? If you've got sort of what I like to call a set of disjoint containers, multiple apps, and you just want to manage it on the infrastructure, the container service is great. Orchestrators are perfect, right? They'll just go kind of play it out there. And the nice thing about ours, they're fully open source. You can put them on any cloud,
yeah.
which is great. If you're building a microservice-based app, then I think Service Fabric is a much better home for you,
yeah.
right? And that's then, and that also now runs on multiple clouds. And then that will both handle the orchestration, but more importantly, handle health, lifecycle updates of all of the apps themselves.
Right, and in that case, I can mix and match again. I can have reliable actors, reliable services, and containers all in the same solution space.
Exactly, right, exactly. Right. And then that starts getting more into your application model, that you may want to put them all together and put them into the right ways and so on. So, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So they do both have their place, and actually I'm pretty excited that we offer both, right? We offer sort of the prescriptive platform,
mm-hmm.
but then also sort of the open-ended, do-it-yourself type platform, and then based on what you're trying to do and who you are, you can sort of make both work.
Okay, right. Very cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we think that also when you look at Azure Stack, because that's something that we also are looking at, this is a very nice way for people to get into cloud computing without actually going to the public cloud.
Yeah.
And we see that as a very nice offering with a lot of our customers to say, okay, well, just start on your own iron, within your own data center, and then lift it towards the cloud.
So yeah, exactly. And that's also the nice thing about Service Fabric, that we can run it on-premise.
Yeah.
And we've got basically now this abstraction layer for which we can write our software.
That's
and
right.
Doesn't
yeah.
matter where it's going to work.
If you code to that runtime, yeah, it's
yeah.
going to work now anywhere,
yeah.
which is nice. Yeah,
yeah,
that's one of the big goals there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Azure Stack's been great. It's been really exciting. I'm really excited to see that go out more broadly.
Okay.
It's been a really exciting part of the overall hybrid story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And is there any news on Azure Service Bus? Because
mm.
that's been around for a long time. I know that in 2013, I did a talk on Azure Service
yeah.
Bus here on Tech Days.
There were four people, I think,
yeah,
in your session.
The first one, there
year?
Were four people in the session, and then the year after,
I
did another session.
That.
No, that's no problem.
It was a very small room.
Yeah.
Very small the room fit 10, so you had filled up 40%
yeah.
of the room. It's
yeah,
actually
great.
Nice.
It's
yeah,
great.
Exactly.
And great feedback.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That was awesome. But
yeah.
Are there any...
About half of the people thought it was
yeah.
good. Yeah.
Well, the next year, you had a packed room, right?
Yeah, yeah. The year after, I did another
yeah.
session.
So
on,
you were just a year too early.
Yeah, but it was about really about messaging patterns and doing that with Azure Service Fabric
very cool.
Azure Service Bus.
Yeah.
Okay. And there were a lot of people out there,
yeah.
so it was great.
So there's two big things, actually, with Service Bus that have been interesting. One, premium
mm-hmm.
Support just
yep.
recently came out, and so that's been a really important, I think, addition to the platform, because we were discovering that people were taking dependencies on Service Bus, on the availability of Service Bus, and so on, that was not a part of the original principles of that platform,
mm-hmm.
right? It was intended to be more sort of, anyway, so the movement to premium now gives that higher level availability, that higher performance,
yeah.
and
yeah.
sort of allows you to take more dependency with your app on it,
exactly.
which has been great. And then that's another example of a portal update. We recently added some portal experiences for
nice.
Service Bus and Event Hubs.
Okay.
And so now, you know, if you had a reason to not be using the portal, those reasons should be going away, right? I think almost all of them have now been integrated, including Azure Active Directory is now running preview in there as well.
Okay.
Hopefully the new portal has become a home for a lot of people. It has gotten a lot better for those who had issues with it. I had issues with it originally, but it definitely has gotten a lot better.
You get
faster.
Used to it.
You get used to it, and then there are parts. You know, I think that some of the experiences are at least our goal is that they're better experiences than you'd get anywhere because they're visual, right? You can they're more immersive.
Also a lot of people that actually prefer doing everything through PowerShell or scripting. So you know, there's
sure, but that's a great thing that everything is scriptable.
Yeah.
You can automate everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But
both are going to be great. Yeah.
Rainy Sunday coming up, clicking through the portal because I remember London.
Well, one thing I really liked about EventOps in the portal is that the archiving function is now laid up.
Yes. Yeah. And archiving is a recent capability added to events.
We do that a lot for our customers.
Oh, fantastic!
With Azure Stream Analytics and go to blog stores.
Wow.
Now it's just click.
I feel like I should spend some time with you guys. I could learn a lot about our platform.
That's what Mark Fussell.
Did Mark Fussell say that?
Yeah, exactly. He said I made some time for you to do some whiteboard.
Well, Mark's a sharp guy, I learn a lot from him too.
Yeah, I think we do some very nice stuff with the Azure stuff.
We've got some interesting projects going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think time's up for now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it is. Time flies.
Yeah. Yes.
We are having fun. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And we still have a full day of tech days to go, so we'll be awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you guys. Absolutely. Yeah. Of course.
And,
thank you for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah. And we'll be going to your talks, and you guys check out the internet, and I will put up some links to all the talks that you can follow.
Great.
So, thanks very much.
Thank you guys. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.